We now bring to these microphones David James. It's that time of the week when we get together and have our conversation looking at an issue that is confronting the local church. Are we as Christians that we need to have a better biblical understanding of, a prophetic significance as well in that understanding? And speaking of prophecy, well, that's what we're going to be focused on today, the birth of Jesus in prophecy. You know, there are so many, many prophecies about the birth, the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the coming again of Jesus Christ. We want to zero it down and look at the prophecies of the birth of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. And David, we've been discussing already on the program during this holiday season, some of our broadcast partners primarily looking into geopolitical terms, but we've had them give us their favorite Christmas story as well. And I want to turn to the scriptures. Let's go bottom line and deal with the question of whether we can say with confidence that Jesus, born of Mary in Bethlehem, is truly the Jewish Messiah. Talk to us.
Yeah, I think that's a very important thing for us to be discussing. As you said, there are so many prophecies that have been fulfilled literally, as you said, concerning so many aspects of his life. And certainly there are at least, and I think maybe more, prophecies related to his return as we think about the rapture, Daniel's 70th week, his return to the earth in Revelation 19, his millennial reign, the great white throne judgment, and things going on into eternity. But I think it is very important, and sometimes I think from a prophetic perspective, something that is overlooked as we deal with prophecy related to the Lord Jesus Christ.
You know, let's take that a little bit deeper if we can. When we think of those prophecies, you and I have already mentioned it concerning Jesus. Often we jump over to prophecies about his crucifixion, his second coming, the future kingdom. Love to talk about all those things and teach from the Word of God. But sometimes we can tend to overlook the prophecies concerning his birth, which I think is key because it points to his identity.
Well, as I was preparing for this, we'll get to those that are directly related to his birth, but there's one that's indirectly related to his birth and his identity that I think is often overlooked and is sometimes confused, and that is referring to the book of Matthew in chapter 2, verse 23. It says that him being called a Nazarene would be something that was spoken of by the prophet. So the question is, if he was born in Bethlehem, how is it that he was called a Nazarene? And it goes beyond the fact that his family was originally from there. If you go back to Isaiah chapter 11, we read this: "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, who was his father, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord." Well, for one thing, that could only point to the Messiah. But interestingly, just a couple of weeks ago, when I was at Nazareth Village, I took note of something that the guide said as it relates to the actual way that olive trees are propagated, and the branches that spring up at the bottom of an olive tree are called Nazares. And even though Nazareth is not mentioned directly in the Old Testament, it's believed that the town of Nazareth actually came from that word, that Nezer, that cutting. And in fact, as I was doing some research, I found that you can't really plant an olive seed and have it come up to be a good and viable tree that produces good fruit. So actually, it's a cutting, and this refers to Jesus springing up from a root of his father, Jesse. And so that's overlooked, but I think a really important part of this whole story.
Wow, that's a very interesting thought. I agree with that. So glad you were paying attention there at Nazareth Village. That's a beautiful little place, a replica of how the town of Nazareth was at the time of Jesus Christ, and it was his hometown. Well, let's go even back farther, though. Let's go back to Genesis. We often say that the seeds of all theology can be found in Genesis. So from a perspective of the Bible, are there a couple of passages in Genesis that you would go to when you would like to point to Jesus Christ being the Jewish Messiah?
Absolutely. I would say that the very first one goes back to the first prophecy of the Messiah in the Word of God, and that's Genesis 3:15, where God, speaking to the serpent who had deceived the woman, who in turn deceived Adam, which led to the fall of them and all of their posterity, the human race, God says to the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." It comes very clear from the book of Revelation that this serpent of old is actually the devil himself. And so if you look at the offspring of the woman being the one who actually defeats Satan, there is no one that can defeat Satan but God. And the offspring of the woman, therefore, must be ultimately the Lord Jesus Christ, who we find in the scriptures later that this offspring is God himself. And then later in Genesis chapter 49, as Jacob is blessing his sons, he says to Judah, "You are he whom your brother shall praise. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's children shall bow down before you." That's a sign of worship. And in verse 10, it says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah." That is a matter of ruling. That's a matter of the kingdom. We're talking about a kingdom prophecy concerning an offspring from the tribe of Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes. And interestingly, even though Shiloh is a name of a town, it's related to the Hebrew word for shalom, which means peace, which once again, there will not be any peace until the scepter from Judah, representing the millennial kingdom, shall be in place on the earth. So it's very clear from the book of Genesis that Jesus Christ is the one to fulfill those prophecies, and he is the Messiah.
And this answer that you've just given us helps us to understand that the Messiah must be of the tribe of Judah, of the 12 tribes of Israel. No wonder, are there other prophecies, David, that you know about that narrow the lineage of the Messiah that points to Jesus himself?
Well, it connects to the prophecy of Isaiah 11, talking about someone who will be a descendant of Jesse. And then in 2 Samuel 7, in what we know as the Davidic covenant, what we find is that there is one of the sons of Jesse, the very last one, to be considered by Samuel the prophet, who was understood and pointed out by God to be the one who would be the next king of Israel after Saul had departed because of his sin and rebellion against God. And in that prophecy in 2 Samuel 7 concerning this descendant of Jesse, David himself, he says, "When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you who will come from your body. I will establish his kingdom," pointing to an offspring of Jesse, and he says this, "My mercy shall not depart from him as I took it from Saul." And in verse 16, he says, "Your house and your kingdom shall be established before you. Your throne shall be established forever." The only one who can have a kingdom that can be established forever is actually God himself, because ultimately it is God's kingdom, once again pointing to Jesus Christ being the Messiah.
David, would you not say that things get even more specific in at least a couple of ways? For example, the very town of the birth of Jesus Christ, which is also connected to its timing as well.
Absolutely. For one thing, his birthplace in Bethlehem. Now, the Bethlehem was originally called Ephrata, and it is a place where Rachel died while giving birth to Benjamin, one of Jacob's sons. This town became the home of Naomi's family, who then was the mother of Boaz, who was the father of Jesse, who was, again, the father of David. And so this town's name was eventually changed to Bethlehem, and it's not to be confused with another Bethlehem, which is found in the north near Nazareth in the territory of Zebulun. So it relates directly to Bethlehem, which is just south of Jerusalem. And as far as the timing, what we read in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 2, it says this: it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing in Judah. And so Joseph, being of the house of David, actually was forced by the Roman government to return to the city of David so that Jesus Christ would fulfill the prophecy of Micah chapter 5 verse 2 relating to Bethlehem Ephratah. And so the two are tied very specifically together. It's one of those things that's far beyond coincidence.
David, perhaps the most well-known miracle connected to the birth of Jesus is being born of a virgin. But why should we believe that a miracle like this really did happen?
Well, we read about the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 7, but then it's also confirmed in the book of Matthew relating to the birth of Jesus that it was a fulfillment of that prophecy. The fact that Joseph did not put Mary away, as he could have quietly, because if she had been pregnant prior to their actual consummation of their marriage, it would have been a shame upon him in the community. The Jewish leaders would have understood that this was a horrible sin that Mary had committed. And so what we find is the way that Jesus and his family was treated and Joseph's reaction having been spoken to by the angel Gabriel, it points to the fact that even the virgin birth must be historically true from both a biblical and even a logical basis.
David, as we wrap up our discussion, and I think it's been great so far, do you have any humorous Christmas memories from your many years of living there in Europe?
Well, there are probably several, but there's one that sticks out in my mind. Actually, there's a day on December 6th, which is called St. Mikulas, the Mikulas Day, or a version of St. Nicholas Day, which happens on December 6th. And alongside him, who goes with him from house to house, is a personality named Krampus, who is a devil who punishes bad children. So a couple of our staff members dressed up, one as St. Nicholas and the other as Krampus the devil, and came in when our children were very young and actually scared the living daylights out of them. They had no idea how to handle this, so they had to actually take their costumes off and show that they were actually friends and not people to be feared, and then they gave them a few small gifts, some candy and things like that.
That's a great story, a family-related story. And again, family, so key to our time of sweet fellowship and remembering the birth of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ, which is exactly what you helped us to do, David, as we looked at the passages of Scripture that point to that very special day in history. Thanks so very much for the research and putting this all together. We'll see you in about a week from now. We'll have another conversation then.
I look forward to it. Merry Christmas, and may the Lord give you a great new year.
Well, Merry Christmas to you, and blessed new year for you and your family as well. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to take a look at the book. I'll pull it all together. We'll be focused on the birth of Jesus Christ. We're going to do that in a moment right here on Prophecy Today.